Desi, noun, a person of Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Nepali, or Sri Lankan origin who lives abroad.
American Desi. Well, that's what we hope to discover here.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to an episode of American Desis. Maybe we need to start calling this North American Desis, because I'm Arjun, and I'm in Vancouver, motherfuckers.
Yeah, and I'm Akash, and I'm in New York, as always.
Yes. Why you say that with such... I mean, I would trade with you in a heartbeat.
Man, whatever. I'm out here. You know, I'm going to D.C. tomorrow, though.
Word.
I'm doing shows for the Rajput Association of North America.
Yes, sir.
Other casts are welcome. You just got to sit in the back because you probably ain't as high caste as us. And if you Brahmin and you higher caste, we will beat you up just to let you know we better.
Oh, man. See, we took a little hiatus over the last couple weeks because, yeah, you know, I was doing a crazy road trip up to Vancouver. So I appreciate your all's patience while I've been getting settled in. But all the D.C. people, definitely go check out Akash. His shows are always really great. I can vouch for that. I've seen him many times.
Yeah.
I obviously, you know, have mad love for him because I do a podcast with him twice a week.
Yeah.
But I wanted to start off by just talking a little bit about Canada.
Yeah.
Because... first of all, the funny thing is I keep wanting Canada to be a lot more exotic than it is. I keep wanting to feel like I'm in a different country. And in a lot of ways it is, but most of the ways it's not.
What's the most different thing?
Honestly, the most different thing, there's honestly nothing that feels crazy different at this moment. Mm-hmm. I'm literally, though, I guess I could say this. I can look out my window and see mountains.
Cool.
And then I can walk 10 minutes and I'm at a beach.
Cool.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Stop wasting time. Talk about these hoes.
So here's what's funny. All right. Specifically South Asia. My first night I was just walking around, right? And I sat down at this little... Oh, here's a fun thing. They don't know how to do barbecue here, which makes sense, obviously. But they don't know how to do it. And I foolishly tried to because I got excited. But I sat down at this barbecue spot.
Got excited. Were, you still excited. If you were bipolar, I'd be like, yo, Arjun's on a manic high right now. Let's everybody relax. Let's call somebody. Let's see how his meds are.
Okay, should I take a breath? Take a breath.
All right. Go ahead.
It was a restaurant called Buck Spot. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting down there, and these two South Asians were sitting there. And I was sitting there, and ever since we started this podcast, every time I'm around South Asians, I'm kind of like, can I start a conversation? Can we be friends? Can we talk about shit? So I'm sitting there and, well, I also felt uncomfortable because he was like with a girl and I didn't want to like mess up his flow. You know, that's not a cool thing to do. But I leaned over a little while. I was like, yo, are you guys South Asian? And they're like, what? And, I first said, are you guys from here, from Vancouver? And they started talking about like where they're from. They're both like from nearby. And then I asked, are you guys South Asian? And they go, what? And it's mad funny because the first thing that's different is it's East Indian here. Like, it's South Asian is not a term that they are really familiar with.
Look, so that was like, stupid PC people are.
We were talking about that, and apparently, it's so funny. I don't know why it is, but why is it that, like, Indian communities are never in the big city? Like, the Indian community is in Edison. It's not in New York City. The Indian community is in Artesia. It's not in L.A. And same thing, Vancouver, big city,
listen, Doug, if you want the Indian community to be in Manhattan, you know how much money you're talking about? Boy.
But don't we keep talking about how much money we have as a community?
Yeah, but we ain't wasting it on location. That's how we got money. We ain't stupid enough to be out in Manhattan for no reason.
Well, it's the same thing up here is my point. Is they're all down in this little neighborhood called Surrey, apparently. Or Surrey. I actually don't know how to pronounce it. But I'm excited to go check it out, get some Indian food, see what it's all about. I'm still exploring. Hopefully been here for a couple of days. But I'm excited to keep checking it out.
Yeah.
Shooting stuff starts next week. I'm really excited about that.
That's dope. They just did a profile of Arjun on India.com, I believe.
Yes, it was. Yeah, those folks over at India.com who've been really great to us. They've been the guys that have been publishing the reviews of our podcast. This woman, Kirtana, wrote a really in-depth, really cool profile. It was nice to feel really, it hit a lot of angles, which was great. I was excited about it.
Word.
Well, you know what we do? We do here to do some sort of discussion. We don't really know often what we're going to say, but we're talking about Tushar Singh, and we're talking about two parts today. And I mean, there's not that much that I wanted to talk about with the first part of the episode because, I mean, I feel like it was such a conversation that a lot of things were said, but I did want to talk about why.
Oh, Tushar is going to be in D.C. with me tomorrow, actually. Yo, he's the guy that got me this gig. Yeah, we're both Rajputh. We said that on the last episode. He's he talked about how he's still kind of tight with Rana. They want to do a comedy show for the youth, and he brought me on board.
Word.
Me and Soreen Chuxi, another guy. Not Rajputh, but we'll let him go, I guess.
Well, anyway, in the first episode, you know, me and him, I don't know how much you got involved, but like I kind of went in, not harsh, but like was definitely challenging him a lot. And the reason that I did was I just feel like I'm very open to a lot of different views, right? I think that everyone is entitled to their view. I just think that it needs to be thought out. And I felt like for him, just calling things blanket-wise ridiculous, just felt like, I don't know, that's when things start to feel borderline disrespectful. I didn't think it was disrespectful that he thought something was ridiculous. I thought it was disrespectful that he thought it was ridiculous without really having a thought behind it until he was really pushed. And so that's personally my thing, is that, listen, man, you can think religion's ridiculous or you can have a view about it that you want, but I don't know.
Stop talking. First of all, this is getting fuzzy. I don't know how Skype is acting, so if you're listening, I don't know what to tell you, man. Sorry about these last 10 seconds, but here's the point. We have a comment on the forum on our website. We haven't been good enough about addressing these comments, and I'm sorry for that, and we will do better. But here's one. Max Power 12. All right, Arjun, are you ready? He's about to dig into that ass. Another strong episode on American Desis, but unfortunately, most of what I'm going to take from this episode is not the, as always, great discussion, but Arjun requiring Tushar to, quote, have a stronger foundation before Arjun would give validation for Tushar's beliefs. It was startlingly arrogant to hear someone that wants to preach inclusivity in community tell someone that their beliefs are insufficient for him. To straight up tell someone that it needs to be better thought out, and he just needs to know that, is, in reference to why Tushar thinks Hindu stories are ridiculous, is incredibly haughty and conceited and almost made me turn off the podcast. God, I'm grinning as I read this. Arjun showed a severe lack of intolerance to someone that had differing opinions in him by trivializing Tushar's beliefs until Tushar had met some undefined and ambiguous level of foundation that met Arjun's approval. I have full confidence that he wouldn't demand someone who said they believed in God because that person has faith that God exists to have a, quote, stronger foundation until it met his approval. It goes on to basically say you're a stupid idiot, and then at the end it says still love the podcast and can't wait till part two.
Max Powers, here's what I'm gonna say to you. First of all, I think you mean, and maybe Akash misread this, but I think you mean I had a severe lack of tolerance. That's the first thing I'm gonna say. The other thing is I hear you, and I'm sorry that you felt that way, but the truth is I don't think it's arrogant that we have certain expectations of people to just throw around judgment, because ridiculous is a judgment, and I think we have to be very careful.
I just reread it. Severe lack of tolerance. Okay.
Oh, okay. Cool. Never mind, Max. Take that back. I think that ridiculous is a term of judgment, and I think that we could all hear from his tone that there was judgment coming out from him, and so yes, I am always going to call out judgment from a standpoint of wanting to hear where it's coming from. And I do think that you have to have reasons behind it. I think just like blindly, like coming from a place of emotion without exploring where that emotion is coming from, I think is dangerous, truthfully. And I think that...
Hold on. This shit is breaking up. Talk again. Yeah, you're good now.
Okay. Where should I start from again?
Coming from a place of emotion is dangerous.
I think that when you come from a place of emotion without really understanding where that emotion is coming from, I think that that can be dangerous. And I think that that's where we can really cause separation, because I don't think that it went against. I strongly believe in inclusive. And again, I think when I started off questioning him, it was really coming from a place of curiosity at first to say, oh, where did that come from? That's an interesting thought. And honestly, if someone who came in and talked about God, I would question them just as much. I'm always questioning people. But, you know, thanks for the comment. I appreciate that criticism always.
First of all, let me just say, Arjun, that you are an ignoramus. And I can't tell you how happy it makes me that both of the comments that we've had, like both the times we've had like outrage on this podcast has been directed toward you. I cannot, literally, I could not be happier. Like, I could be getting married right now, and I'd be like, yo, BB, did you hear about Arjun, though, and, like, how people are, like, really thinking he's ignorant on this podcast? It's the best thing.
Can I just say that they didn't say I was ignorant. Thing. They said I was arrogant.
And haughty, right? And conceited. Oh, man, yeah, yeah. They use synonyms all over the place.
Synonyms, the same thing,
loved
man.
It. Oh, but not man.
For the record.
Oh, buddy. I mean,
yeah, I think, and maybe I'm wrong too. I don't know. Do you think I'm wrong to have those level of expectations?
No, I actually agree with that? And I almost felt like you were defending me because I just kind of shut down. I didn't understand where the whole comment, like, yeah, I'm sure you're such a good Hindu. I really didn't know where that came from. And we're like boys. So I just kind of was like, I don't know what's going on right now. I don't know if I felt attacked or what, but I just kind of shut down that whole time. And I was like, well, I mean, I'm not going to have a good discussion with someone who said this is ridiculous. So I'll do this on the podcast. I did the same thing I did with Rekha. I was just like, well, all right, we're not going to have a good talk. So I'm just going to shut down here and we'll get it back when we get it back.
I honestly didn't feel that from you. Like, I didn't realize you shut down. I thought I kind of just not that I wouldn't defend you in life, but that wasn't a moment where I was like, let me defend Akash.
Okay,
that
bro, was a moment shit, of like, bro, you ain't shit. So whatever.
I'm saying. Anyways, that was my reasoning behind why that happened. But
I think you're right, though. And I think you listen, I'm a guy who says who I attack a lot of things that people believe, but I always have a logical thing behind it. Now, usually I'm just trying to be funny or whatever. But like, yeah, you can't just say it's ridiculous if you're going to like, yeah, that's what you believe. But what you believe does attack something a lot of people hold very dear. Like you just probably don't hold on to atheism as dearly as people hold on to Hinduism, Catholicism, whatever. And so for me, like, as a guy who does that, I will attack things people hold dear. I know my logic game better be on point when I say that.
Yeah, and I think for me, I guess at the core of it is just, it didn't feel very compassionate, you know? And I think there's a way of disagreeing with people without being attacking or belittling what they feel. You know, because the funny thing is, I don't disagree with Tushar on aspects of disagreeing with blindly following mythology. You know, I think that there are elements of what Tushar was saying that I do agree with, but I think that I don't agree with the way in which it was coming from the language he was using was very belittling and derogatory to me.
I agree. You know what I took from it, actually, from part two? There was a part where, I don't remember what Tushar said, something about being more, he felt like he was more Indian than American a little bit. And his comedy kind of reflected that in the way he handled it, like doing jokes in Hindi on stage. And I kind of realized that as much as I talk about being Indian and this and that, I very much handle it like an American. Like, I don't do jokes in Hindi. I don't watch as much Bollywood. But I realize I'm an American doing comedy talking about Indian things, if that made sense. More so than an Indian doing comedy. If I'm in India, 100%, I think they're going to see me as more American than Americans are is going to see me as Indian, if that makes sense.
So you think that you in India, you would be more... Wait, let me try to see this so I can get this. In India, you'd be more American than you are Indian in America.
Yes.
You was like you fit better into America than you do in India,
yes,
is what you're saying.
I think
that's
so.
That's interesting.
At least comedically, now, because all you're doing on stage is communicating your beliefs, your ideas, trying to be funny. And trying to be funny in another language is a whole different thing. Or with another culture, it's a whole different thing.
Honestly, I still don't really understand how y'all do what you do, truthfully. I mean,
thank you,
it's a truly crazy idea. When he was talking about the way that he bombed, like when he was talking about those stories about bombing those first few shows, I was cringing. I was like, good Lord. The closest thing I've had to that experience was in high school when I did a play and I forgot a couple lines and I was just standing on stage for like 15 seconds and it felt like an eternity.
Yeah, and you'll never forget that feeling?
No.
Yeah, and on stage, you have to get used to that feeling. Like, if they don't like me, and not get used to it, but you have to learn to be okay with that feeling. You don't want to get used to it. That's probably bad.
That's crazy to me. But I I'm really excited for his documentary. I thought it was really incredible. It was a big gift, I felt that we got for this show to have somebody that was from our perspective as like an American, like born and raised, being in India and like kind of sharing with us from their perspective what's going on the ground and like how things are shifting. And I mean, it hit me how stuck in the past some of my own rationale was, like that I was so thrown by the weird ass title.
Yeah.
was like, whoa, how disconnected am I from India at this moment?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it was really quite a little bit of a shocking thing. I was like, oh, wait, not only was it shocking that to me that it was weird ass, but it was shocking that it wasn't shocking in India, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
that seems a little convoluted.
That was the way it was accepted.
Yeah. And then just how open, I mean, this is also still kind of confusing to me, is like the way that they're able to be so open with homosexuality within the entertainment industry among like the media elite, and then for it to be illegal.
Yeah.
I wish someone who's maybe listening, if we have any listeners in India or anyone who's knowledgeable about that, that could help me understand that, I would really appreciate that, because that doesn't, I'm having a hard time wrapping
my head. Objectively, it seems like a huge double standard.
Yeah. And it also seems like if these are the people that they deify celebrities, right? And the rumors, it's not like the rumors aren't out there. You know what I mean? Everyone knows the rumors about Abhishek and Aishwarya and Amitabh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not like anyone doesn't know the rumors about Karan Johar. So yeah. if they deify these people and the rumors are out there, wouldn't that make it a little bit more okay? I feel like it would be an easier thing. I don't know. That's my confusion. And then the other thing that was really stunning was that I'd never thought about was that there's no First Amendment.
Yeah.
And I know it because there's censorship. And of course, and I think about it a lot with movies and TV that are out there. But the fact that there's no First Amendment, I mean, that's...
I mean, we got censorship here. We still got a First Amendment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we don't have that kind of censorship.
Yeah.
We don't have censorship like they do.
Yeah, but you see my point is like you would think those two could coexist.
Right. I guess. But I just... It's crazy to me. I think it makes me think about, you know, I think that I have to confront very honestly that sometimes I'm so quick to demonize aspects of the West that I forget that there's a lot of things about this place that are really important and really something that we should strive for. And I think that that's something I need to be better at, about acknowledging the balance, to be more nuanced about the balance of like that. Because we can learn a lot. I mean, freedom of speech is a huge thing. And the way that they're treating these comedians to me is crazy. And I got, just like you, got really jacked when how passionate he was about going there and trying to change that. Because I agree, because there's no reason that should happen, you know?
Right.
I guess, if I may, and this may be too off topic, so you can pull me back from this. But I was thinking about this when I was re-listening to the episode, right? It was talking about how this is a really elitist thing to do, like go to see comedy, which was interesting. And then he talked about how the West, or maybe he didn't say this, but I started thinking about it. The West is associated with money, right? Capitalism, etc. And the rich people are more Western because they're existing in global economy. And so Western is being associated with power, like money and power. And I'm wondering, that just scares me a little bit, because I think that that's going to be part of what allows the West to just be so lifted and so put on a pedestal for the next, you know, as the culture is evolving.
Yeah, no, definitely that concerns me too. Everything that's American is great. Now, you know, it's weird though. It's really only white American. Like, I don't see no Indians listening to Meek. I don't see Indians in India commenting on the Meek Drake beef. I mean, they don't seem to have any interest in that. But yeah, it is weird. I don't necessarily like it, but they've always done that. It's getting completely Americanized. That's why weird ass comedy festival is not crazy to them.
But what if the transitionings that are happening here with our culture are actually happening there, just in reverse, right? So the Indians
are getting more Eastern and they're getting more Western.
We're Americans that are becoming more in touch with our South Asians, and they're South Asians that are just becoming more Western.
Yeah, and then we just meet in the middle, or what?
I don't know. It's something I was just noticing. I was like, is that something that's happening?
I think about this sometimes, because the world is flat, that whole thing, and everything's so connected. Are we all just going to have one unified culture at some point? Little pockets of different shit, but essentially we're all just the same.
Well, let me ask you, is that a bad thing?
I don't know. I do know this. When people talk about, I don't know if I've ever said this on this podcast, when people talk about like diversity, if you're forcing everybody together and you're making one melting pot culture, you have actually killed diversity.
Yeah.
Not saying it's right or wrong, but you can't, like...
You can't have the cake and eat it, too.
Yeah, you can't put it on a pedestal, say, this is so great that we are making... We're forcing all these diverse things together and making one culture, and that's diverse. You just... That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know how this... But anytime I think about, like, it's interesting. I struggle with the idea. One thing that makes me concerned about unified anything is that there's no cult, like, there's a joke. What's the difference between Singapore and yogurt?
What's that?
There's no culture in there's culture in yogurt. Man, I really fucked that joke. The point is that there's no culture.
Telling jokes is hard, buddy. Hardest thing in the world. I want everybody in the podcast to know that.
But the point is just, I don't really know what the point is, but uniformity, that's, I don't know, there's something about that that hits me in a kind of terrifying way, because the mixture of cultures...
It's terrifying. I mean, that's not terrifying.
Is what makes things grow, though. But it's what makes things grow. It's what makes, what allows us to change and move. We learn from each other, right? I mean, someone comes in with a different idea and a different perspective, and how they do it, right, will shift how we do it, and then we can all grow from it, right? But if we all meet in this middle point and everyone's the same, are we going to be able to keep growing? I don't know. This is what's
You really be taking us through your thought process on this podcast. Like, you just take the whole train of thought. We just sit on that damn route and we go every stop.
I don't know. I wanted vulnerability, I guess. Welcome back, everyone.
I know, I'd be killing your vulnerability, but I just feel like I gotta, like, we need a joke at some point. Bang, let's do it. That's my insecurity. All right, yo, you want to get in this email from Ravi? We got an email from Ravi Bonwaith.
I wanted to ask you one question, though, about the Dushara thing.
Yeah.
Would you go to India to do comedy?
Yes, 100%. Why?
Are you actively trying to do that? Do you want
to
do that?
Well, I'm going to India in November, hopefully, but I don't know if I'm going to have time, because it's going to be with my mom and my brother. I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, which, I'm already getting in trouble for that over here. And then I'd have to go for another week or two on my own in India, where I've never been. I've only been twice, never been on my own. And then I'm doing comedy. And that's a little daunting. Also, the time constraints could be a problem. So I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I would love to do it.
Right. Cool. I was just curious if it was something that you were excited about.
No, I want to do comedy back home. Well, I know it might not go well, but I will do it.
I mean, it'd be an interesting experience for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we should say, whatever, we should definitely support American Hussy, AmericanHussy.com, HASI.com, to make sure you check out what's going on. I think it's a really exciting project. I can't wait to see what goes on with it.
We also got an interview with, this is going to geek out more comedy fans than anybody else, but Bill Burr, who is probably the funniest comic alive.
Oh, wow.
He got an interview with him because he saw Bill Burr when he was in India. So he's going to talk to him about that. It's in the documentary. Oh, wow. He may also get one with Russell. He's hoping to. I don't know if he locked it in or not.
Oh, cool.
But the Bill Burr one alone, that's going to make this worth it. So watch it. Check it out. American Hustle.
Yeah.
Go support.
Let's jump into community. You want to rock Twitter or should we jump into emails first?
Let me do this email because I already said the dude's name and he was so excited that we shouted him out last time. There's a couple sentences up top that compliment us, but I will skip that. He talks about meditation. Although I am Sikh and meditation was not brought up as much in the culture as other Indian cultures, I would like to start. I know many Indians who do it and I have tried. Many say they find peace and such, but when I try, I feel myself thinking about random shit or worrying about something that is irrelevant to meditation. My question is, how do I meditate and what does it mean to meditate? Is it possible for me to close my eyes and think of nothing? Also, I try to show my American friends culture as much as possible. Before growing up in high school, I was embarrassed of much of it. But now I have the realization that our culture is, quote, fucking awesome.
Okay. First of all, I love that you're trying to, that you're feeling more pride for your culture. I think that's a beautiful thing. Do you mind if I dive into the meditation
thing?
That's
you. You got way more experience with it than me. I was hoping you would talk once.
I'm a big proponent of meditation. I think it's an incredible thing. I don't necessarily know that it's for everyone. I think it's worth everyone trying. I think everyone can get something from it. I think it's a misconception that the idea that you close your eyes and you can think of nothing. I think the power of meditation is that we disassociate with the power we give thoughts. There's that saying, don't believe everything you hear. And one of my meditation teachers said, don't believe anything you think. Thoughts there's, you know, when you think about emotions and you think, and we, one of the things they stress in Buddhism is the impermanence of everything. So emotions will change. They're like the weather. The clouds will pass. You know, sometimes it's gray cloud, sometimes it's white, and they're always moving. It's the same thing with thoughts. Because the thing about thoughts that we maybe don't always aren't always aware of is that thoughts are involuntary. You know, oftentimes you can't make yourself think. You actually only can allow yourself to think. And what that really means is you just listen to the internal voice that is constantly happening. Now, the way of going into practice, I think there's a number of different ways and there's several different avenues, right? So, and I'm only going to name the ones that I'm familiar with, which is only the tip of the iceberg, I'm sure. There's transcendental meditation. There's chanting, which is a type of meditation. And then there's insight meditation. Those are the three that I'm most familiar with. TM is well known, and you know, you go and they give you a mantra, and the idea is that you say the mantra over and over and over again. And that's a way of
Scientology.
No, I don't agree with that.
Yeah,
but
you know,
there's a lot of people that have found really beautiful effects from it.
I've heard it's very effective, though.
The insight meditation is one. Which, that's the one I practice, so that's the one I'm going to speak to, Ravi. Insight meditation is where you close your eyes and you pay attention to four stages of awareness, right? You either choose your body, your breath, your thoughts, or your emotions. And you stay with that awareness. So you'll pick like a 10, 15-minute period, and you start with, you know, let's say you're starting with your body, you know, in your first few months of meditation or whatever, and you just stay aware of the sensations of your body. And as thoughts come up, as they invariably will, you simply note that those thoughts are happening. So you might note that, oh, planning is happening, or I'm thinking about the future, or
there's an ambulance behind you, and that's all we can listen to.
And there's an ambulance. Exactly what Akash did. Just what's happening in your experience that pulls you away from your awareness. And then the practice is to come back. The practice is to come back to that awareness of breath. And they talk about your mind as like a young puppy, right? And as it's young, and as you're starting your practice, it's going to be very active and it's going to run around. And you just gently bring it back. And it's important to gently do this. You're gently going to bring the puppy back near your side, which would be your awareness. And you keep practicing that. And in time, you will start to see the puppy will just walk by your side. And you're going to have days where it doesn't. You're going to have days that it does. And I think that's the practice, is always just coming back. But I think it is a misconception that you're going to be able to sit down and then just be able to shut your mind off. I think it definitely is something that you need to give yourself more time on. But I know I'm rambling, so because this is just something I'm very passionate about, and I'm very passionate about the practice because it's been a daily practice for me for almost 2 years now. And it's interesting, Ravi, that you brought a perfectionism to the practice. Which is something that I struggle with, and I think that's still the ambulance, which I'm going to wait for a second. I hope someone's okay.
Somebody died, Doug.
This is probably the worst day of their life.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, talking. Oh, by the way, I should just let everybody know it's really hot in Vancouver, so I'm sitting here shirtless.
You know? Nobody cares, Doug. I'm telling you, nobody cares at all. I can't wait to edit that out. Jesus Christ. Shut up, man. Hey, ladies, I'm shirtless. God, you're such a douche. Yeah, I should note that. Don't try to cover it up with I should note sound all haughty. You are haughty.
There's a perfection that comes with a lot of the South Asian idea of, like, being right. Akash, do you feel this a lot for yourself? But, like, the need to be right. And the perfectionism is something that we put on so much of ourselves. And you can't be perfect when you're meditating. You can't. Because perfection doesn't exist. I think if you're really interested in the practice, Google insight meditation or transcendental meditation. I can tweet you or email you back the name of the Buddhist chanting, because it's slipping my mind right now. But these are three. Explore more. I think it's a good thing to explore, and there are many avenues. And get a guide, get a teacher, because you can't do it alone when you start.
All right.
Twitter?
Twitter. Let's do Twitter. This tweet is from Queen of Aces, 23. She says,
oh, that was some interesting stuff. Yeah,
is it weird that I say I'm a, quote, brown girl, even though I'm black? I don't want to offend anyone's culture. I do this because I feel the negative connotation to black as a color made me say, no, I'm brown, not black. Is that wrong?
I responded on Twitter. I want to know what your thoughts are on this one.
I don't like it, not because I feel like you're taking our thing or whatever. I think everyone should be very proud of who they are. Mm-hmm. She also says, I grew up in this country being around people who assume black people are violent or uneducated gets hard. I try to be a proud black woman always, but don't like the word black because it's too negative these days. I prefer the word brown. I think we change the perception of how we're perceived. That is our power as a community. Mm-hmm. And I think to disassociate yourself from that community and associate with someone else's community, the opportunity you have to uplift yourselves is gone.
Yeah, I mean, I feel strongly about that. I mean, I want to say that I understand why. I mean, I can understand that being confronted with that kind of negativity is difficult. So I understand the desire to avoid that.
Like I say, though, anytime this issue in some way, some way, shape, or form is presented, if you really love yourself and your people and are secure with that, nothing anybody else can say is going to bother you that much.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm compassionate to the desire to like avoid hurt, right? I am. I'm compassionate towards that, but I do have to say that, and I said it in the tweet. I'm sad that there's such a negative connotation that you can't honor where you come from and who you are, and what that community means. You know, and I think that you holding up and being an example of a black woman who is different than those connotations is how you're going to change those connotations. Yeah. But if you say that you're brown, you give other people the chance to keep staying within their connotations, within their mindsets.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, it's something for, you know, we can't say what's wrong or right. But this is our thoughts, and maybe it's something that you can, I'd be curious to hear how you think once from our response.
She also tried to set me up with Superwoman, and I appreciate that. Good looks.
Ms. Shanaz is back. We're always happy to have you. It's kind of an email and a tweet, but I want to show love to Listenopoly. This was not something I was aware of. It's at Listenopoly. Everyone check them out. They are pulling up the email now. They are a service or a forum. It's a site. It's a website called Listenopoly that is a directory of podcasts created by people of color. And their mission is to bring greater visibility and access to our voices. The site is going to go live in a couple days on August 1st. I want to show love for including our podcast on there. Thank you, Mimi. And we're excited to be a part of what you're doing. And we're honored to be a part of it. I think that's just mad love to you guys.
Appreciate you, Mimi.
I think on Twitter, that was pretty much the big stuff that was going on.
I think we knocked this out. 32 minutes. What's up?
32 minutes. Are there any other emails that we wanted to hit on?
Nah, not that I can think of.
We did get the fortunate, you know, IndiaWest.com we got to talk with Sonia from there. So we're excited that there might be some, you know, article or conversation that we started from there.
Word.
That could be dropping.
Word.
Sometime soon.
Word.
It's good to be back. We're now in Canada. We're going to try to drop some episodes from here.
Stop wasting the people's time.
Goodbye. It was nice talking to you. On Monday, we're dropping something else that I can't honestly, to be completely honest, have no idea what episode we're dropping on Monday, but it will be there on Monday. So tune in. I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash. Yo, I'm in DC. Thoughts, holler at me.
All right, y'all.
All right. God bless.
Peace.